This is Prostate Cancer and You, a podcast produced by the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition. Mission: to educate, connect, and support men at risk, newly diagnosed individuals, survivors, and their families. It also connects organizations and professionals in Massachusetts seeking to conquer and cure prostate cancer. We've got a short two-part podcast series to present to you today, discussing two important issues: molecular imaging with Dr. Philip Davis, VP of Clinical Science at Blue Earth Diagnostics. We'll also be talking about radioligand therapy with Dr. Dan Stevens, Chief Medical Officer at Blue Earth Therapeutics. Gentlemen, let's have you introduce yourselves to the listening audience, starting with Dr. Davis.
Hi, I'm Philip Davis. I'm an MD based in Charleston, South Carolina. I specialize in medical imaging and drug development. I spent 10 years at the FDA reviewing new drug medical imaging diagnostics, and now I work at Blue Earth helping bring new imaging products to patients in the U.S.
Thank you so much. Dr. Stevens, I'll give you the same opportunity to say hello.
Good afternoon. My name's Dan Stevens. I'm a physician as well, originally from the U.K., but now based in the U.S., and I trained in the UK National Health Service, where I was a clinician and also an academic, mostly researching prostate cancer. For the last 10 years or so, I've been working on developing new drugs, particularly radioligand therapy. And it's great to be here.
We're focusing on molecular imaging and, you just mentioned it, radioligand therapy. So I'll start with Dan, the definition of radioligand therapy and what's different about it from other forms of traditional cancer treatment.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. So radioligand therapy is a type of cancer treatment. And the way it works is that it's a radioactive drug. So the actual structure of the drug has a radioisotope built into it. So this is quite different to traditional radiation therapy, where you might imagine a big machine in a room and the patient lies underneath the machine and the machine kind of fires radioactivity out in a beam. Radioligand therapy is injected into the body, goes into the bloodstream, and then those molecules kind of spread around the body and they have like a homing mechanism where there's a target and they bind to the target, hopefully on the cancer cells, and then they deliver the radiation directly to those cancer cells. So the idea is that it's able to avoid having to pass the beam through the body to find the cancer, and instead it kind of finds the cancer from the inside out.
I imagine you're still working on fine-tuning this, because there is always the possibility that, I guess, a healthy set of cells or tissue could be affected.
Yeah, exactly right. So there's unfortunately no perfect solution at this moment in time. So the targets that we use trying to bind the cancer that has these targets, some of those targets are also on the normal tissue. So there is always some radiation delivered to the normal tissue. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that you minimize that as much as possible and focus the energy on the cancer cells.
So it's much more targeted. Let's talk about radioligand therapy in connection to the treatment of prostate cancer specifically. Obviously, that's why we're here. How does it directly relate to those listening who have prostate cancer?
Sure. So prostate cancer has a particular target, which some of your listeners may have heard about, called PSMA. It stands for prostate-specific membrane antigen. And it's really found on the majority of prostate cancer cells, and there's lots of it. So it's a very good target. And, you know, we're developing, the medical world is developing radioligand therapies that target PSMA. And they essentially, once the radioactivity is bound to this target PSMA, it's kind of firing off radiation and damaging the prostate cancer cells. And the idea is that, you know, over several days, that has the effect of hopefully shrinking the cancer or at least preventing it from growing or further spreading.
Right. That's incredible. So it's working its effectiveness over the course of several days. It gets in there and starts to work and continues to work for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. So one of the nice things about that target is that the molecules that have been developed, when they bind to the prostate cancer cells, they tend to stick there for, you know, for several days. And if you imagine, the radiation gradually decays over several days. And so you continue to deliver that radiation damage to the prostate cancer over a period of, you know, maybe as long as a week.
One more thing with you, Dr. Stevens, and then I'll turn to Dr. Davis, and that is radioligand, we've already defined it, is a new therapy different from radiation therapy, but it also differs, of course, from chemotherapy. I just want to outline what we're talking about here.
Yeah, sure. So chemotherapy works in a different way, in that it It doesn't specifically target the cancer cells. So instead, it targets the way that cancer cells divide. And what that means is that there's also some collateral damage. So you're able to destroy the cancer cells, but also some of the other cells in the body, which are also rapidly dividing. And classically, people think about hair loss being one of those. That's not to say chemotherapy doesn't work. It does. It's a proven and effective treatment in prostate cancer. But radioligand therapy is trying to target these cells in a more focused way to try and avoid some of those side effects.
This is a very exciting time, and I appreciate your input on all of this, and people are certainly going to want to know more. Let me talk to you, Dr. Davis, about imaging, in particular what we're calling molecular imaging. What's different about this? What is it doing, and how does it apply to prostate cancer?
Yeah, sure. So molecular imaging is a special kind of diagnostic test that helps doctors see cancer and other diseases early, even when the disease is small. It works by injecting a small amount of radioactive medicine in the patient's blood, and this medicine sticks to the disease cells. Generally, this amount of radiation that's attached to the medicine is regarded as very low and of minimal risk to the patient. So in contrast to radioligand therapy, the amount of radiation for the diagnostic imaging and molecular imaging is very low. After patients receive the medicine, then doctors use special cameras to detect where the medicine is in the body. So it shows the doctor's images of exactly where the cancer or other disease is in the person's body.
So this would be a step above even an MRI or a CAT scan in some cases?
I believe so, yeah. So generally speaking, MRI and CT take pictures of the organs and tissues. So they show doctors the anatomy of a patient's bodies, whereas molecular imaging provides both anatomic and functional information, so it can show how cells and tissues are actually working at a specific point in time. It's kind of like using a heat sensor or heat sensing camera instead of just a regular camera. It tells doctors what's happening inside the body and where disease may be located, not just what the body looks like.
I imagine this must be very promising news for those in the area of research and study and pathology.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, for prostate cancer, molecular imaging offers the ability for doctors to see the cancer sooner and see it more clearly compared to CT or MRI. So if traditional tests like CT or MRI misses the cancer, molecular imaging can find it early, which can lead to better treatment choices, because we all believe that the more accurate information, more complete information doctors have, the better decisions they probably make. So it can allow doctors to see the cancer earlier and more clear.
Does this molecular imaging assist us in determining whether there's a higher risk of prostate cancer or a more serious case of prostate cancer? Can you get a lot more information from it?
Well, you can. You can see if the cancer is spread, so not just inside the prostate, but to other areas of the body, like the lymph nodes and the bones, which can change treatment plans, such as switching from surgery to systemic therapy or medicine. And based on certain characteristics of the scan, you also can make prognostic assumptions about how well the patients are going to be doing. So yes, it can give more information than the traditional imaging does.
Dr. Davis, I'd love for you to paint the picture of imaging and how it's evolved, and particularly with the onset of this new exciting development in imaging. In terms of prostate cancer, what's the progress step by step that we've made?
Well, there's been huge progress in the past decade. When I first started in this field, early 2000s, there were only a few diagnostic imaging drugs available in limited disease states. Now we have the new PSMA PET scans that can find prostate cancer earlier and more accurately than before. And as Dan said, we're working on new drugs that don't just find cancer, but also treat it. And I think in the coming years, there's going to be many more medicines coming down the line, diagnostic and therapeutic, for different types of cancers and different diseases. So the field's really catching up with itself. I mean, nuclear medicine's been around for 100 years, but there have been limited drugs until recently. And now all of the different facets of it, the different technologies within nuclear medicine are gaining speed and coming together. So we've got new targeting agents, new radioisotopes that we can manufacture at scale, and new linking agents that put the two together. So I think in the coming years, there's going to be great progress in new drugs and in different disease states that hopefully help patients have better outcomes.
One more question for you, Dr. Davis. Let me go back to Dr. Stevens on the radioligand therapy. And that is, for those people who have a recurrence of cancer, prostate cancer in this case, can the molecular imaging offer better statistical analysis and better hope for those people who might have a recurrence?
Yeah, we believe so. So similarly to how we can find disease earlier in patients who have newly diagnosed prostate cancer and can give more complete information about staging early in the disease, when a patient has a recurrence, it can find it earlier and provide more complete information as far as, you know, where it spread. So even if it wasn't available during a patient's initial treatment, it is now, and they should, you know, ask their doctors if it's not offered to them for this new technology, you know, to be used, and whether it's appropriate for them.
The focus on this exciting podcast today is both imaging and new developments there and therapy, in this case, radioligand therapy. When is it typically brought into play, Dr. Stevens, in terms of treatment?
So in 2025, radioligand therapy for prostate cancer is currently available for men who have advanced prostate cancer. So this is prostate cancer that's unfortunately spread, i.e. has become metastatic, and it no longer responds to the hormone therapy that lots of men start off receiving, or chemotherapy. So these are men who really are, you know, towards the end of the list of treatments that are available. But just recently, very excitingly, the FDA has approved the use of radioligand therapy before chemotherapy in that setting. So men with advanced metastatic cancer not responding to hormone therapy can now access radioligand therapy in the United States.
And there, of course, is imaging that's required to determine whether or not it's appropriate. What kind of imaging are we talking about?
Yeah, so you might hear this word theranostic, or see the word theranostic. It's a portmanteau which basically combines therapy and diagnostic. So one of the very scientifically exciting things about radioligand therapy is that the PSMA PET scan shows you where the cancer is, and it also tells you whether the receptors or the target is on the prostate cancer. And that then would allow you to kind of unlock the radioligand therapy to be given to target those PSMA receptors.
We're going to wrap it up here in this discussion of understanding molecular imaging and radioligand therapy with Dr. Philip Davis and Dr. Dan Stevens. In the next podcast, part two of this series, we'll talk with each of our guests about empowering patients and caregivers and the look ahead at some very promising technology and treatment. This podcast is brought to you in part by a grant from Blue Earth Diagnostics. We invite you to stay tuned to future podcasts featuring valuable information and resources, the latest in research and treatment, and stories of real people who have challenged prostate cancer and won. To learn more about the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition and to hear the Prostate Cancer and You podcast, again, go to masspcc.org. That's masspcc.org. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and with all Android players. I'm Jordan Rich, wishing you a fabulous day.